Hello and welcome back to Listener's Voices. This is episode 11 on the topic of smells and memories. And my name is Frances, and I'm joined by...
Fran.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. The prompt for the next episode of Listener's Voices on KTWH Community Radio is influencers. Who in your past has been a personal influencer? Whether they knew it or not, family, teachers, co-workers, friends, whoever it is. Written or recorded responses are encouraged by Thursday, noon, April 25th, at ktwhwriters@gmail.com or at our studio in the Harbor Landing building. Listeners' Voices airs every Saturday at 11 a.m. and again 9 p.m. on Mondays. And it's archived at ktwh.org/listenersvoices and then the episode.
Right, or you can just find the program's drop-down at the website, and we're listed under there. Listeners' Voices is one of the items under the drop-downs.
We didn't get a flood of responses for this week's episode.
Right.
We do have a couple of written, but no recorded ones.
We have Richmond did send in a recorded one.
Oh,
we have one.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks be to Richmond.
Yeah, trying to figure out... I thought everybody would have something they could relate to with this subject.
Well, I believe they do, whether they responded or not, from my readings and watchings of various YouTube videos. It's quite interesting how intimately related to our memory smell is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll read a little piece later from a website about why that is, neurologically, I guess you could say. But, yeah, we struggled with what to call this episode because smells just has a little bit of a...
Sometimes people think the word smell has a negative connotation, but scents, aromas, odors.
Right. I wish we'd
fragrance.
Thought of scents before. We thought of fragrance. That sounds too flowery. Odor sounds too negative.
Fragrance, I think, applies to perfume, which is a huge economic... entity.
Right. Yeah. In fact, the
first historical entity.
The first page I came up with about why there is this strong link between smells and memories was actually on a website of a perfume company.
Ah.
And then when I found another source, a more sort of scientific-based source, I saw that they basically almost plagiarized from that site. The points were all the same. But
I am very fond of listening to the Huberman Lab podcast on all the places you listen to podcasts, but I mostly listen on YouTube. The episode I found that relates to this topic is called How Smells Influence Our Hormones, Health, and Behavior. And at 3 hours long, it was fascinating.
Oh my. Yeah. Did you listen to the whole thing?
I always do.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, I'm not familiar with that.
Oh, it's one of my favorites. Hmm. Yeah. It's I don't consider myself a science geek, but it could make anybody a science geek to listen to him.
Well, maybe you can share with that rather instead of what I was going to read from the webpage.
Well, I think we could pull from both of them, couldn't we? Because I was just going to mention some of the points that they raise. You really have to go back and listen to that entire episode if you want to gain the wealth of information. Some of it really important to our health.
Interesting.
So, you know, some people consider the loss of sense of smell to be just an inconvenience or a sad thing, but it's intimately connected to our nervous system and our, well, it's linked to neurodegenerative diseases.
Wow.
In one case, he mentions that the guest, Noam Sobel, mentions that patients who end up contracting Parkinson's can go back and find that they lost their sense of smell up to 10 years prior.
Wow.
And that is an indicator.
Oh, my gosh.
And that it has an effect on your health and your ability to taste things, your sense of enjoyment, in all kinds of areas, not just taste or neuro function. So it's actually a very important sense.
Yeah, I had no idea.
I thought it was just an emotional trigger.
Yeah. And do people, I don't know if he answered this, are smell and taste completely bound up together?
They are, because we have the ability to taste sweet, bitter, and sour. But without our olfactory senses, we cannot taste flavor.
And
flavor is huge in terms of enjoyment and experience, too. You know, a lot of your favorite dishes, it just doesn't matter if you can't taste them, you know?
Yeah.
Can you imagine losing the sense of... Have you ever lost your sense of taste?
I don't think I have, no. Gratefully. Yeah, hopefully. Knocking on wood here.
Well, there's many things that I've done that have degraded my sense of taste, like smoking for a couple of years.
Yeah, that would do it. Yeah. Actually, I do feel a diminished sense of smell, and I think it's not fair because I was never a regular smoker. Like, I've had a few...
Well, apparently this happens to people sometimes as they age. They lose the keenness of all of their senses. But this YouTube podcast does mention that there are ways to recover your sense of smell, your sense of taste. And, you know, there's some of the websites talk about different drugs you can take and different holistic treatments you can do, or detoxes or whatnot. But one of the most interesting avenues, I would say, is I've been reading a lot about breath work and how breath work enhances pretty much all phases of your life. Mm-hmm. Apparently, you can recapture your sense of smell through breathing exercises.
Wow.
I don't know exactly what the mechanisms are, but it's hopeful.
Yeah, so, yeah.
As we will hear from one of our
submissions,
the loss of the sense of smell has affected or afflicted many people since COVID, because that is a side effect of having COVID.
Right.
So it is probably more important than ever that people pay attention to that and try to alleviate it.
And try to protect themselves from getting COVID in the first place, even though it's something hardly any of us are thinking about anymore.
I think everybody in the world's going to get it. That's the supposedly what I hear all of the immunologists say, that there's no such thing as not getting it.
And a lot of us have had it who never knew it.
Yes.
Right.
Well, in any case, if one loses one's sense of smell for any reason, apparently there are ways to recapture it. And that is hopeful because it is intrinsic to our enjoyment of life.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to mention one other little thing. Something you said reminded me of. So our sense of actually hearing for humans, I guess, is said to be the last thing to go. And
the last thing says who?
Well, it's out there somewhere. You know, if you're on your deathbed and you and I've heard it in the context of that people who seem, you know, they're breathing still, their heart is still going, but they seem like they're completely lost, gone. The sense of hearing might be still there.
Right.
It's the last sense to go in that
sense.
Well,
both of my parents lost their sense of hearing years before they passed.
Well, that's a different case then, right?
That would
make a difference. Yeah. But the way this came up recently, and I can't remember who I heard this about, but dogs, on the other hand, sense of smell is the last thing to go for them. And, of course, they have so much more refinement in their sense of smell in the first place.
Yeah.
This was it. So someone's dog, who was normally always an indoor dog, only went outside if the owners were going out, but otherwise always wanted to be inside with the owners. Well, then towards its last days, all of a sudden it wanted to be outside for some reason, and they were so perplexed. And someone explained it to them that their sense of smell is the last thing to go, and if they've lost their sense of hearing and their sight, which happens with dogs, and that they still can connect with the world with their sense of smell, and there's so much more stimulation outside than inside. I thought that was interesting. So we should probably... I thought it'd be interesting to explain how this prompt came up.
Well, I was relating to Fran one afternoon how, while we were discussing the subject of prompts and trying to think of ideas, I was remembering that I had... really profound experience upon going back to my hometown. I had moved from the West Coast to the East Coast, and upon returning, I smelled the trees, and it just brought me right back to my childhood. I felt at home. Mm-hmm. The smell of the eucalyptus trees and the redwood trees and the bay laurel trees, it was really stunning and emotional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's such a cool story. Actually, I think when I heard that, then I thought, oh, that would be a really good prompt. I think it was more, we were maybe talking about the smells of the trees where we were at that time.
Yes.
Something. Yes, we were on a hike. Right, on Gooseberry.
But, you know, I think because of the aversion to the word smell, we probably should have led this prompt with some sort of recollection
example
based on it.
Right.
'Cause now that you've heard this, you probably have experiences that you could relate back, like, you know, going to visit your parents or friends or different places. Or I was thinking a spice market in Morocco, if anybody's ever been to a place that has a really, really strong aroma to it.
Mm-hmm. And especially when things take you by surprise or out of the blue, it's not this that you recall it or you go back and enjoy being in a smell that you had, but coming upon it unexpectedly and immediately your emotions and feelings.
In my experience, I had been moving around quite a bit from the West Coast to the East Coast to the Northeast to the Southeast, and then suddenly I came home to my hometown, and I expected to feel, you know, at home and comfortable, but it really hit me like a ton of bricks.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a classic example. Right. Well,
would you like to read Jane's, or shall I read Jane's?
Why don't you read Jane's? A submission there.
All right. Our friend Jane Timke has given us this submission. I leaned over to sniff the jasmine. I was soaking up the sun in my friend's garden in Ventura, California, where everything was in bloom. The fragrance is astonishing, my friend said. Nothing. I can't smell it, I replied. Apparently the scent was overpowering in the yard, and my friend was surprised at this. We'll try the orange blossoms. I'm familiar with the heavily sweet fragrance of orange blossoms, but once again, nothing. I moved on to the lavender bush. This time, I scrunched my fingers around a handful of flowers and oily leaves and once again sniffed. Nothing. I was taken aback. I know the lovely, pervasive fragrance of lavender in bloom. It permeates the air and calms the spirit. I should have been able to catch even a faint scent. At this point, my friend announced, "You've had COVID." Of course. I may have been free of symptoms, but it had robbed me of my sense of smell, just as advertised. And hopefully only for now.
Yeah.
And I ran into somebody at the grocery store just the other day who said that they've lost their sense of smell. And this is no small loss.
Indeed. And much more of an impact than I was aware of before you shared what you did from that podcast.
Well, apparently humans do have a tremendous capacity to detect smell. We think of dogs because theirs is so much keener than our own. Mm-hmm. But we base a lot of our behavior on smell. And specifically, interpersonal relationships are built on whether or not you like or are similar in your smell. So it's something that we don't pay or we're not keenly aware of, but is vital to our interaction, memories, and I also read somewhere that apparently your strongest scent memories form before your adolescence. And that there must be your plasticity of your brain or something like that. Mm-hmm. And that those emotions are the deepest, most emotional that are triggered by scent.
Wow.
And that after adolescence, you tend to form more conceptual versus perceptual memories based on smell.
Wow. Well,
so that's why it brings you back.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe we should sneak in one of our songs. Since we have very few submissions this week, we came up with some smell-based songs. And given Jane's reading there, how about Stop and Smell the Roses?
Yes. Here we go.
Okay.
Hey, mister, where you going in such a hurry? Don't you think it's time you realized there's a whole lot more to life than work and worry? All the sweetest things in life are free, and they're right before your eyes. But you got to stop and smell the roses. You got to count your many blessings every day. This morning in the city, well, did you spend some time with your family? Did you kiss your wife and tell her that she's pretty? Did you take your children to your breast, love them tenderly? You got to stop and smell the roses. You got to count your many blessings every day. Did you ever take a walk through the forest? Stop and dream a while among the trees. Well, you can look up through the leaves right straight to heaven. And you can almost hear the voice of God in each and every breeze. But you got to stop and smell the roses. You got to count your many blessings.
That was Stop and Smell the Roses by Mac Davis. Do you want to go on to your submission, or should we do Richmond's
Let's
first?
Let's hear from Richmond first, and then we have a tangentially related music after that.
Very good.
And then I'll share some of my sense memories, smell memories.
Hello, fellow listeners. This is Richmond responding to the prompt, Smell and Memory. This is a two-part response to the prompt, Lake Superior and Butterscotch. This past Sunday, down at Flood Bay, and later back in my apartment, I was delighted taking in the smell of Lake Superior, permeating the atmosphere, cool, fresh, cleansing, alive, making memories. Butterscotch, having been to the Black Hills hiking and camping 4 times, I have wonderful memories and photographs, and one of the most vivid memories and favorite stories to tell is Butterscotch. Hiking through the hills of Ponderosa Pine, there was the most intense, wonderful smell of warm butterscotch. Going up close, smelling one of the trees, there was the source. Amazing nature, butterscotch. Checking in with some locals about this phenomena, came the confirmation that the Ponderosa Pines have the smell of a butterscotch forest. The next day, I went to the town's Dairy Queen, ha, and had a butterscotch sundae. Now, whenever I have butterscotch, I remember the Black Hills of South Dakota.
Greg Brown, Smell of Coffee.
And we didn't have any songs about the smell of butterscotch, so that's as close as we could come, Richmond. Yeah, well, that's what you got, was the smell of coffee.
That was delightful.
Yeah. So I was going to share just some of the things that trigger memories for me. And that was interesting. You said most of our memories are formed in pre-adolescence. The one that goes back the farthest for me, this would be, I was not more than 5 years old because we moved from Clarissa, Minnesota, when I was almost six. But what I recall, this was a little town that time forgot, kind of the Lake Wobegon, right in the middle of Minnesota, population 650, and we lived right in town there. And I have a distinct memory of them the city truck coming by and doing patching the asphalt holes in the street, and that smell of that hot, I can still see it too, the kind of glistening hot asphalt, and it's a very strong smell, of course. And whenever I happen, I don't seem to happen to encounter asphalt in the cooking and the making much these days, but if I did, I know my mind would go right back to Clarissa, 1954. then the rest of them are post-adolescence, but they're kind of ironic because they're smells that these are literally smells that most people wouldn't associate with positive memories. But when I was almost fresh out of high school, I'd gone to summer school, immediately into summer school after graduating from high school in Minneapolis. Went for the summer term, fall term, and had completely burned out by the end of that fall term. It was a mistake not to take a break in the summer. So I went out to visit my sister, who was living in Boston with her husband and very young son at that time, and decided, oh, it'd be nice to spend some time out here. And she was working for a publishing entity at that time. I managed to get a job with them and rented my own little room nearby, walking distance from my sister and her family. And I think of it as having been heated with coal, but I don't know that I ever actually observed the coal. But it was very smelly, whatever was heating that room and that rooming house. It was either coal or maybe fuel oil. I still go back to that room when I smell strong fuel oil or coal fumes with a positive feeling, because it meant heat to me.
Oh, yes.
And even if it's something you don't really want to be breathing that much, who knows? I only lived there for 3 months, and then I got tired of my file clerk job and went back to Minneapolis and back to school. But it was a really nice winter. Spent out there, and it was really nice when the furnace was working and the coal was burning, and I breathed it in and appreciated it because it was warmth. And then likewise, this is even worse in a way. I had occasion to spend actually more than 3 years over several different trips in South Korea. And it was usually in the winter. This was in the 1980s and the 1990s. Mostly in the winter, because my work was summer work, summer fall, and that's when I had time off. And I would spend usually a couple months or more at a time. I spent as little time in Seoul itself as possible. It was mostly out in the countryside, but there were a couple occasions, a couple of missions of those trips that I ended up spending a lot of time right in Seoul. And there are a lot of cars in Seoul. At that time, there were 10 or 12 million people living in that metropolitan area. And the carbon monoxide smell is quite prevalent in Seoul, Korea. And I got plenty of doses of it. And I didn't appreciate it at the time, and I didn't think that was a pleasant smell. But whenever I'm back here, once in a while, positioned to get a strong dose of exhaust from a bus or a truck, or diesel actually too, diesel exhaust. So probably I'm around some big truck. Anyway, when I smell that, I get a warm feeling.
It evokes a very fond memory.
Yeah.
For whatever reason.
You know, Francis, I'm realizing why we're not hearing you so well, because the wrong button was on for your microphone. I kept pushing your slider farther and farther up. That's okay. We'll get you better now. So that's kind of a reverse kind of smell to emotion thing. And I
guess, well, we think it is, but smells evoke emotions.
Right.
And was a very fond memory for you. So whether it's exhaust or fuel oil or even asphalt tar. I can remember having an occasion when I was a kid, and we resurfaced our driveway, and my dad was insistent on having small children help him, and it was very amusing. Very amusing.
I was just thinking of something else in that line, and now It escaped me. So I bet there's one more, a couple things actually more. This is a reverse situation. So after spending, especially the longer trips in Korea, 2 to 4 months, there was one trip was 9 months long, I would get back to the United States and go to the grocery store, and I was known back in those years to buy cookies from the cookie counter or the cookie shelves, you know, processed.
Bakery section or boxes?
No, boxes, like Nabisco mm-hmm. cookies. And the first time it's happened more than once, I remember going down that aisle for the first time after getting back from Korea, I was nauseated. By the, it's actually chemical smells coming yeah. when your smell palate is cleaned of, not that everything, there's a lot of processed food in South Korea as well. And it's just, there are also a lot more natural, like the open markets have quite a variety of smells, but nothing chemical that's.
yeah.
And it's made, so I actually stopped eating processed food. Food cookies after
what a commentary on on the effect that it can have.
Yep.
I used to work in kitchens of varying kinds, and from a couple of years I exclusively worked in the pastry or the sweets end of menu. And when I started having to cook ice cream base every single day and make cakes every single day, the sweet smell was nauseating.
Yeah,
and I would go home at the end of the day and have an uneasy feeling in my stomach. I stopped eating sweets for years. I used to think that I was going to get really fat working in the pastry department, but just the opposite happened.
Yeah, the reverse effect.
It's overwhelming. So what song goes best to follow this conversation up?
Well, how about Summer Breeze, just because it sounds, I like the name of it.
Very good. All right. Now we'll listen to Summer Breeze by Seals and Croft.
Hanging in the window in the evening on a Friday night. Little light is shining through the window, lets me know everything's alright. Summer breeze makes me feel fine, blowing through the jasmine in my mind. The paper laying on the sidewalk, a little music from the house next door. So I walk on up to the doorstep, through the screen and across the floor. Summer breeze makes me feel fine, blowing through the jasmine in my mind. Days of summer, the jasmine's in bloom. July is dressed up and playing her tune. And I come home from a hard day's work, and you're waiting there, all care in the world. See the smile of Wayne in the kitchen, food cooking on the plates for two.
feel the arms that reach out to hold me in the evening when the day is through.
Summer breeze makes me feel fine, blowing through the jasmine in my mind. Summer breeze makes me feel fine, blowing through the jasmine in my mind.
Summer Breeze by Seals and Croft.
Okay, so I thought I'd share with you a little about the actual, I don't know if you call it chemistry or the science behind why these smells are having these effects on us. This is from a discovery.com website. Here's why smells trigger such vivid memories. You might have noticed that the smell of grass and rubber cleats can bring back the memory of childhood soccer games in starker detail than watching a home movie of one of those games. Smells have a stronger link to memory and emotion than any of the other senses, and neuroscience may know the reason why. When you see, hear, touch, or taste something, that sensory information first heads to the thalamus, which acts as your brain's relay station. The thalamus then sends information to the relevant brain areas, including the hippocampus, which is responsible for memory, and the amygdala, which does the emotional processing. But with smells, it's different. Scents bypass the thalamus and go straight to the brain's small... Scents bypass the thalamus and go straight to the brain's smell center, known as the olfactory bulb. The olfactory bulb is directly connected to the amygdala and the hippocampus, which might explain why the smell of something can so immediately trigger a detailed memory or even intense emotion. But why, if we're such visual creatures, does smell get this elevated status in our brains? Some think it goes back to the way we evolved. Smell is one of the most rudimentary senses, with roots in the way single-celled organisms interact with the chemicals around them, so it has the longest evolutionary history. This also might explain why we have at least 1,000 different types of smell receptors, but only 4 types of light sensors, and about 4 types of receptors for touch. I was trying to recall that when you were talking about our sense of taste, I guess, and smell, that 1,000 different types of smell receptors, that's a lot for it not being our...
And the direct access to the brain, because apparently it's only 2 synapses away from the brain, mm-hmm. So it just immediately gets registered.
Right, yeah. Yeah, so I won't go on and on about this, but I thought that was really interesting that there's actually... A scientific explanation for how these things happen. I know, I'm sure everyone's had this experience, and if you didn't quite click into it from our description of this prompt, however you might have heard it, we always welcome late submissions to previous prompts. So
yes.
Well, I want to let you know that if this is triggering anything for you, tell us about it, and we'll share it next week for sure. At the end of the broadcast, we'll share again what the prompt for next week is, but just keep that in mind. So a couple of poems. By the way, it's National Poetry Month right now, April, and so I was reminded of that, and I found these are just excerpts from poems I found online. This is exactly the kind of thing that we're talking about with this episode, not just smells, like the songs we're singing are about smells, but we're especially focusing on smells that trigger unexpectedly some memory or emotion in yourselves. And so this is one excerpt. She says the poem the word is spelled Carmel. At first, I thought she was talking about caramel.
Oh, is it Carmel, California?
I think so, because it's capitalized, too.
Yes.
So apparently Carmel has its own fragrance.
It certainly does. I'm very familiar with the place.
Oh, okay. My mom would take me to dance class, and the building smelled like Carmel. Much later in life, I entered a building that had the same smell, and it brought back those old days, a smell I will always remember.
Now, that's interesting. I think they mean caramel, to be honest, because Carmel, we were just talking off air about smells of summer breeze, and I remember the rotting kelp on the beach, and Carmel in particular.
Oh.
A certain season has kelp that washes ashore, and as it's rotting and attracting sandflies, it has a rancid smell to it. So if it smelled like Carmel, that might be what she's talking about, but it doesn't sound like it.
Yeah, and Richmond talked about a building smelling like butterscotch.
Yes.
So she may have intended caramel, but whatever. Whatever smell it was, she ran into it much later in life in another building, and it brought her right back to those days. That's just the kind of thing. And this is from another poem. Putting this in context, it was during COVID, and she refers to that, to the campus being locked down. I never thought to ask what kind of tree it is, but now the campus closed from a distance. I think of it at unexpected times, wonder what its name is, how it's doing, recall its fragrance with as much nostalgia as I do the smells of friends and lovers and loved ones in the past. This particular suntan lotion that summer, that particular cologne one evening out, the smell of chocolate cake baking, my father. Tears spring to my eyes, silly woman crying over a tree. Yep, we know what she means. And the particular cologne one reminds me of a high school teacher I was kind of infatuated with, who had a distinct fragrant product they wore, and for years later, I would have a memory of that person triggered in my head by smelling that. So in honor of it being National Poetry Month, besides these two unattributed excerpts of poems we just shared, I thought it would be fun to share a couple of Ellie Schoenfeld's poems. She's a Duluth poet. She, I think, at least twice in the 10, 20 years ago, she was the poet laureate of Duluth. Leo has had her here in the studio or on the phone sharing poems. And when Leo and I were talking earlier, and he thought of this one of hers, even though she doesn't distinctly or specifically refer to any smells or fragrances in this poem, you can kind of imagine it if you put your head with what she's talking about here. I couldn't resist of thinking of distinctive smell, too.
As a side note, I was reading, trying to find poems on smells, but mostly came up with how invoking smell in writing deepens the description and the relatableness of it. So if you really want to have people immersed in your work, you need to bring up all of the different senses, and smell's one of them.
Interesting. So she doesn't specifically in this one, but I just couldn't help. It's such a sensory poem in a way.
And welcome to our crossover episode.
Right.
And here's Ellie Schoenfeld.
And the poem is titled Patriotism.
My country is this dirt that gathers under my fingernails when I am in the garden. The quiet bacteria and fungi, all the little insects and bugs are my compatriots. They are idealistic, always working together for the common good. I kneel on the earth and pledge my allegiance to all the dirt of the world, to all of that soil which grows flowers and food for the just and unjust alike. The soil does not care what we think about or who we love. It knows our true substance, of what we are really made. I stand my ground on this ground which will ultimately recruit us all to its side.
cold.
Well, most people will know that that was Smells Like Teen Spirit from Nirvana, and I will admit it was not a smooth transition between Ellie Schoenfeld and that piece of music, but it did have to be aired during this episode.
We wanted to be sure to get it in, right? And we're surprisingly have filled up more time than I would ever have imagined with only three submissions on the subject. So we will go back to the fact that it is National Poetry Month, and we want to be sure to get Ellie, another poem of Ellie's in here. This is a much longer one and a very fun one, and we thank Leo for curating this for us.
We're going back to 2017, a little over 5 years ago. I had a chance to visit with then Poet Laureate of Duluth, Ellie Schoenfeld, and we connected on various levels, and I got her to read a poem, one of many that she's done, about Barbie. And I guess this excerpt will speak for itself on National Poetry Month, that poetry isn't always as serious as a heart attack. It can be rich with subtlety and wit. So here's a little bit from Ellie Schoenfeld speaking way back when. You've been studying the career in the legacy of Barbie over time.
Oh, that's true. I have. Yes, I have.
Have you kind of put that, was that just a phase, or is there a lot, lot more to unearth?
Oh, I'm sure there's a lot more to unearth. There was a phase of lots of Barbie poems, but every now and then a new Barbie poem has come out. So,
Is there a favorite or appropriate?
Well, let's see.
PG or so?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Here's a nice, wholesome one. It's called Chicken Farmer Barbie.
We have some chicken farmers in our listening audience who
exactly.
should listen up.
That's why I've gone here, to the chickens. I like chickens, so, and I like Barbie. So Chicken Farmer Barbie. You won't find Chicken Farmer Barbie at Kmart or at the malls. This Barbie is only available through your local CSA or Whole Foods Co-op. She has a pink pitchfork and is wearing an outfit woven of organically grown flax. The seeds of that plant are included for you to sprinkle on your morning granola, which is also included if you buy batteries. She carries a basket of grit, which she strews for the chickens, who are free range, of course. When the grit is gone, she fills the basket with an assortment of pastel-colored eggs, variously sized. She likes to spend the winter thumbing through the chicken catalog, but she always winds up ordering the same thing, the variety pack plus a few extra of the Polish. She loves the Polish because they look like they are wearing elaborate feather hats, and they sashay like movie stars from the 1930s, missing only a marabou-edged dressing gown and a long, elegant cigarette holder to complete the image, though this Barbie would certainly never let any of her chickens smoke.
Wow. Another reference to headwear. Tiaras and...
Oh, I probably have a lot of that. I've never noticed that.
Crown chickens. Yeah. I was impressed that I wasn't hoping that he appeared there. I know Elvis once appeared with Barbie, so I didn't think Elvis would be on the chicken farm.
Elvis is not on the chicken farm, or at least I'm not allowed to tell you if he is, because Elvis likes to hide, you know. So
an undisclosed location, former leaders.
Exactly, in the chicken farm. Who would look for Elvis on a chicken farm? So
only Jimmy Hoffa, but I think he stopped looking.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
Poor Jimmy.
Now that's absurd. Now get serious. I need to be more earnest here. I'm sorry.
Well, good. We got to hear a little Leo on this show, too.
So that is lovely that we'd have poets in the area reading their own work on air.
Yeah.
So
yes,
if that applies to you, or if it could apply to you, please submit it, and we'll fill in on some other shows.
We want to encourage that, right? We can't just read anyone's poetry we find here or there because of copyright issues, but if you are a self-published or self-written poet and are willing to share your poetry with us, we are more than happy to use it here. And I just want to give it extra little tip to Ellie Schoenfeld has a whole series of Barbie poems, which are quite entertaining. If you can find them anywhere, maybe we can get her to record some more. So we did want to mention one more time the prompt for next week. And I'll share it as written here. Influencers. Now that's you hear that word a lot these days, but we're not talking about TikTok or anything like that.
Not necessarily social media.
Right. This is thinking of who in your past has been a personal influencer to you, whether they knew it or not. Family, teachers, coworkers, friends, whoever. Maybe you can share something with us about an influencer in your past, even though we certainly didn't use that word until more recently.
The word hero came to mind, or...
Mentor,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So again, we take submissions until noon on Thursdays, and they either can be emailed to ktwhwriters@gmail.com. Recorded voice memos from smartphones work. You have the option of how to share those, and sending by email is one of them, or text. You can put them in an envelope and mail them to us, P.O. Box 622. Here at Two Harbors, 55616, or walk them into our office or slide them under the door here in the Harbor Landing Building, which is at the corner of 7th Avenue and 7th Street. So, and we welcome late submissions, not just to today's, but any of the past prompts that we have used. We're in episode 11 now. We doubled up on a lot of them, but we've had 7 or 8 prompt subjects so far.
And if you have ideas that you want to submit for what we ought to choose for prompts, we're open to that as well.
Right. We do have, we've had one submitted that we're saving. I don't know why, but it's about time we get to that pretty soon. I will also give you an early heads up, and this actually may not be so far off, like the week after the one we just announced, I think. Will relate to community radio somehow, because as an early preview, our spring fund drive is coming up.
Yes, and we're asking ourselves, why is local radio so important? What is the value of community radio?
Right, yeah.
And that answer is long and heartfelt in my mind.
Mm-hmm. But you can submit a short and... directly to the point one, if you wish. We don't require long and heartfelt ones for every submission necessarily. It would be good for people to think about, because radio is a little bit controversial these days. Is anybody really listening to radio anymore with all the online things? Of course, we are online too. But
how is it controversial?
Well, how much energy should be put into it because of the focus on online things? And those of us who
But if you're going to knit together a community of people and keep them engaged with each other and connected to each other, I think it's vital, because these other platforms are distant places and they're not necessarily us.
Right. And even though there are local Facebook pages and things like that, you're not going to hear interviews like Katya does every Friday morning and Leo on many Wednesday mornings with local people, very directly relevant to our lives here in Two Harbors and the greater Two Harbors area. So that's some things for you to think about for a prompt probably the week after this next one.
As we
celebrate community radio. Well, it's probably about time we tie this up.
Thank you, Fran.
Yeah, thank you, Francis. I'm glad this prompt happened to emerge out of a hike of ours together, and maybe we'll hear from other people.
I hope to. Yes. We'll go out with Neil Diamond's Love Potion number 9.
Took my troubles down to Madame Ruth. You know that gypsy with the gold cap too.
got a pad down in 34th and Vine, selling little bottles of love potion number 9. I told her that I was a flop with chicks. I've been this way since 1956. She looked at my palm and she made a magic sign. She said, what you need is love potion number 9. She bent down and turned around and gave me a wink. She said, I'm gonna mix it up right here in the sink. It smelled like turpentine, it looked like India ink. I held my nose, I closed my eyes, took a drink. I didn't know if it was day or night. I started everything in sight, but when I kissed a cop down a 34th and Vine, he broke my little bottle of love potion number 9.